you know, we had to get to know each other in a short period of time at the end of last year, because I had to make a decision on who was going to run the ball club. And, you know, that last road trip of the season last year, even though it wasn't a real productive road trip on the field, it was very productive for me, just getting a chance to talk to Gibby about philosophy, about who he's about who taught him the game. You know, he did his homework on me as well. You know, it's funny, one of the first meetings we ever had, he brought up a guy named John Seeley, who was my junior college coach in Oceanside, California. He goes, "That guy was pretty important to you in your life, Kevin. He was probably one of the most important people in my life, who brought me from Oregon to Southern California, gave me an opportunity to perform at the collegiate level, and was really kind of a father figure for me in learning the game of baseball." And for Gibby to do his homework on that, I mean, I'm going, how would Kirk Gibson from Michigan ever know John Seeley from Maricosta College? But he'd done his due diligence in trying to find out, you know, who were people that were important in my life. And over the wintertime, we, you know, talked almost on a daily basis, even though he was back at Michigan at times. And preparation leading up to, you know, preparation for spring training, you know, roster composition, you know, what type of players we felt we needed to bring in here to not only change the culture, but to be a more versatile club and improve the club on where it's been at the last 2 years. He was a big part of that in the winter meetings and then the organizational meetings. I will say it's the first organizational meetings that I've ever been a part of where my major league staff, including Gibby, were there for all aspects, 2.5 days, which are long days, from about 8 o'clock till 8 in the evening. And that, I mean, that involved human resources when they were talking, our EAP people. And not often do you find, usually the major league staff, they do their gig and usually they're gone. I think it showed not only me, but the entire organization that team, you know, and Gibby and his coaching staff's about team and about, you know, being unified and about in an organization, understanding that it's not just the players, it's not just the coaching staff, it's the entire organization if we ultimately want to get to where we're at. And he's a competitor, I'm a competitor, we like to compete. And, you know, I think if I, your question for Gibby about, you know, what is a Diamondback way, if I had to put in one word, it's we're going to compete. You know, I know he gave you some, you know, kind of broad terms, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, it'll evolve as we get through the season. But I know the one thing that we share in common and what we want our players to be known for is somebody that's really going to compete on a daily basis. Even though the outcome may not be a positive one every day, clubs are going to know when they come into town, they see the Diamondbacks on their schedule, that they're going to fight, they're going to compete, and they're going to give it everything that they have. Well, you know, several of the veteran players we brought in, I've had some history with. You know, Nady, Blanco, Blum. You know, I talked to Don Baylor a lot about Melvin Mora. I talked to some people in Baltimore, Bruce Keeson, who I respect a lot, who knew Melvin when he was in Baltimore. And, you know, these guys are not only good ball players, but they've been guys that have been a part of winning clubs. They've been guys that have been everyday players at one time or another and play the game the right way, and are not afraid to go out and police the clubhouse. It shouldn't be up to the major league coaching staff all the time to take care of things when there may be issues or somebody's not following the program. And, you know, Bloomquist is another guy. I mean, I think we've got the right character types that are going to, you know, hopefully bring, take a little bit of load off some of our younger players and help show them the way the game should be played and how you compete on a daily basis over a 162-game schedule.
KT, in your due diligence and talking to Gibby, who was here, what transpired from 2007 when this team went to the NLCS and in 2008 missed by like 2 games in the last 2 years, where now you're saying you're trying to rebuild a culture where
right.
teams are the team just as competing? I mean, the team did compete.
Sure. Well, you know, Barry, I wasn't here, but I was in the division, so I saw him. They had a great bullpen, if you remember right, in 07. I mean, to me, once that bullpen, when they had, you know, Lyon and they had Pena and they had Valverde, I mean, they had several weapons coming out of the bullpen, and I thought right then and there, I said, if they keep this bullpen together, I mean, they could be very, very tough because they had a very strong nucleus of young players. I would say that, you know, they had a lot of success early, you know, this young core of players here, and probably were very successful in the minor leagues too. And I think probably mid 08, probably 09, they started facing adversity for the first time as a group, and there really wasn't a lot of veteran leadership around him to maybe help those guys and how you deal with that. And it just became kind of a domino effect. And then probably there was some self-doubt, you know, was that an aberration 07? Were we really that good or are we not? And, you know, what we tried to do, and I think in the organizational meetings, was basically, you know, yes, we want to know what the history of the club was and how poorly it felt at the end of last season, you know, when we were watching on TV as we saw a club right with one of our direct opponents, you know, hoisting a trophy. But, you know, as I said, you know, one of Trevor Hoffman's great assets was the ability to always kind of turn the page. And the last 2 years, we've done that, I think, not only from a player standpoint, but from our scouts, our player development people. If there was a disconnect, I don't think it's there anymore. I think when Wednesday, when people left to go back to their homes, and as well as their coaching staff, I feel they were unified, they're ready for battle, and, you know, the focus is on this season, not what happened the last couple seasons. And, you know, my hope is that with some of the new faces that are in here are going to help some of the younger players, and hopefully the new staff with all their experience is going to bring the best out of them as well. There is, and one thing we've talked long and hard is, you know, he wants everybody to earn it, you know, in spring training. And, you know, I think fans, I think media, they like to kind of know, you know, what that lineup's going to be, you know, on February 15th. And, you know, Gibby and I have been saying all along, it's not our job. Even in Jared Parker's situation, I want this kid to go out and try to win a job, you know, in our rotation. He's got incredible stuff. But, you know, we'll make the decision at the end of March on who we part with, the 25 guys. But it's going to be highly competitive. And not just pitching. You know, I think with the utility-type players in the outfield, at first base, you know, and competition brings out the best in people, you know. But pitching-wise, you know, it's going to be highly, highly competitive, you know, particularly probably in the rotation. You know, we've got 7 or 8 guys vying for 5 spots, and you can't get through a 162-game schedule with just 5. So my hope is that we've have some tough decisions to make on 7 guys for those 5, and those that don't may end up into the bullpen, but we've got created some depth, at least, if somebody goes down or something happens in the season.
Kevin, can you win the division?
Why not? You know, I think, you know, every year, regardless of what our payroll is or our ball club is, my expectation, I mean, that's, you know, to win a World Series, you got to win a division or you have to, you know, be a wild card. And I wouldn't be in this business if I didn't think you had a chance to win. It'll be tough. It'll be difficult. I would say with the NL West, it's probably been the most volatile division that there's been. I think we've got some good players here. You know, and it's really ultimately going to come down to our pitching. If we pitch well, there's no reason why we can't win a division. And we need our players to believe that. That we could achieve that. I want our players saying, well, we just got to get to 500 or have a winning record or build upon, you know, win more games than 65. No, we want to go out and win the NL West. And to me, can we do that? I think we can. You know, I wish I could look into a crystal ball now and tell you exactly how it's going to turn out, but I think that's what makes our game exciting, is you just don't know. You know, my old club, the Padres, if anybody thought, probably when Buddy Black and Jed Hoyer was talking to the club last year, they'd win 90, you know, after coming off a year where they almost lost 100. They probably said there's no way, but they pitched well, their bullpen was good, they made some nice pickups during the year, and they took the Giants, the would-be World Series champs, to the last game of the season. So if they could do it, why can't we? Well, I think Jerry DePoto made some great moves at the deadline. You know, I mean, the Hudson pickup was tremendous. Skaggs and Corbin, Saunders, you know, and in the Heron deal. You know, getting a chance to see Enright, get a chance to see Kennedy. I've seen Saunders quite a bit over the past. Hudson, you know, solid foundation of young, controllable pitchers, you know. And I think, you know, probably not enough people talk about the good young pitching. The great thing about young pitching is it's such an unknown. There's not a lot of history with them, so, you know, who's to say that, you know, these guys might take 2 or 3 huge steps forward, and, you know, we'd have 2 or 3 guys that are solid young starters to kind of build upon. So I like young pitching just because you know, without the history, I mean, there could be tremendous upside with these kids. And I think there's a wave of them, like I said, the Skaggs, the Corbins, the Parkers, the Mileys, that are coming behind them. And I think our pen's improved now. I think we've got some good options down there in the 7th and 8th and 9th inning. And J.J. Putz is like he was in 2007. You know, I can see this team greatly improving upon where it's been the last couple of years. I think sometimes you could tend to coddle people too long. I mean, this guy's almost 2 years post-op. Tommy John threw very good instructional ball. He's been working his tail off here in the offseason at Chase Field. He's a special pitcher. You know, we're going to do what's right for him, but this guy's chomping at the bit. You know, I mean, I think we saw last year the Nationals did probably as good a job as anybody could do with really monitoring the innings on Strasburg and making sure he didn't have too much of a workload. Hey, you know, he ended up blowing his arm out. I mean, you just don't know. But this kid's got the surgery behind him. You know, from everything that I hear about him and talking to the kid, he's a great athlete. He's very driven. He's very focused. And we feel that it's, you know, even though he pitched well enough to make the ball club, and five or six other guys threw well, and we think to get him few starts down in the minor leagues, he hadn't competed in a game situation in, you know, a year and a half. So probably would be best for him to at least get some minor league work down there, but I'm certainly not going to tell the kid that. I mean, if he forces our hand and we feel that he's one of our best five and this is a guy we want to go, maybe he starts with us. It's huge. You know, it's nice for guys to be in their homes, to not have to pack up to go to spring training. That's a beautiful facility to come to work every day. And, you know, from the weight room to the the locker room to the fields that they're going to be playing upon. And we look at this, you know, Salt River Fields as really being an incredible recruiting tool for us going forward. A lot of players make their off-season homes here in Arizona. You know, what better sell to a wife and kids that, you know, for 8 months out of the year, you know, daddy's going to be home. You know, you don't have to pack up and leave. So this is huge for us. And if anything, it's, you know, our hope is that this ball field and hopefully the way our team plays the next 6 weeks is going to give us a lot of momentum going into the opening of the season. You know, probably today, I think we had a call scheduled. You know, the hearing is on Wednesday. We had certainly been preparing for the case as well as I'm sure they are. You know, as I've said all along, you know, our hope is to avoid a hearing. You know, I think, you know, being able to settle would be best for both sides. I know he wants to focus on the season, but you know, I would imagine, I think today we'll probably have some dialogue. Usually that's the case before they have to hop on planes from Chicago and find their way out here. And then, you know, we've still got 3 or 4 days to continue to talk.
Is everybody here?
Yes.
Is everybody here? Can anybody have any visa problems?
I know one of our coaches, Valera, had lost his passport. He's here? Okay, good. He's here, and I want to say Zach Duke, wife, maybe very close to having a child, so he may be a day or two late. Other than that, I think most everybody's here. All right. Thanks. Huh?
Thanks.
Medford.
That's
my dad.
Are you?